I want to talk to you this morning. I just had a thought as the week was going on about some basics. And I know we talk about a lot of things. I do this 52 weeks out of the year. With the maybe exception, I may take a week or two off or something, but it's just, we talk about a lot of things, and I know we don't always remember everything that I talk to you about, and they tell us that on average you remember about 4 sermons a year, so I try to keep them real simple, so they don't take up a lot of space in our minds that we can think of. But I thought about some basics, and we've been talking about a lot of things here in the last few weeks and trying to kind of, I don't know, try to stay in a certain pattern. I try to do that because it's easier to remember it if you remember it based on these patterns. So these basics, there are 2 things that I feel are basics that we start with. And that's that we, first of all, basic, we've got to learn to pray, or we have to pray. And secondly, we've got to gain knowledge. Now, we've got to apply this to the easiest way we have to apply it is a relationship that we have with another human being, whether that person be our spouse, may just be a person that we're close to on our job, male or female, whatever the case, that we're just close to, or just someone that we're friends with, old friend from school or something like that, that we have this. And all these relationships are built the same way. They all exist the same way. They all move forward in the same way. They all progress in the same way. They all grow in the same way. They all get greater as far as the impact in our lives. They all grow in the same way. And we always hear these words. When you start hearing words like prayer, it's like, we begin to tune that out, turn that off, because I don't know, I've heard all I want to hear about that. And then, and so I want to visit with you a little bit about these basics and about how Jesus told us that this system works. Now, in Matthew's gospel, we've used this. I've taught this since I went into ministry. Me and Jeanette was visiting this week. This year, I will have been licensed 25 years. We traveled and sang and preached prior to that, but I will have been licensed for 25 years, so half my life I've been a licensed minister. And I've ministered longer than that, so I've had a lot of opportunities to teach a lot of things in that 27 years, possibly, whatever it is. And me and Jeanette this year will celebrate 33 years together, so we've been at this a long time. So let me spend a minute talking to you this morning about some basics. And everything, you understand that everything that you get has my slant on it. You may say amen. If you're listening to me, I can't help it. It's just the way it is. A pastor that says, I'm just preaching the word of God, he just doesn't understand. I am preaching the word of God, but still has my slant on it. You may say amen. It won't come out the same somewhere else as it will here. So the basics in Matthew's gospel, the 6th chapter, the 9th verse, Jesus said this. He did this on request, that they were asking him to teach them how to pray. And he said in verse 9, after this manner, that word manner there could be translated and is in some translations, after this model. He said, this is the model that we use in order to pray. Or so what he's saying, he said, here's how it's done. And the reason that they did this is that the disciples had been seeing Jesus pray, and they noticed that he was very effective at it. That the things that he prayed about happened in the way that he prayed and all these things. So they said, we want you to teach us how to pray like you pray. Teach us. We need to know. We need to understand what's going on in your life so that we can then put it into our life. And when I say that you have this, you get my slant from it, that's the same way the disciples were. They were coming to Jesus and they said, Jesus, we see that when you pray it's effective, or we see that you've been successful at this as you've prayed. And they said, teach us to pray like you. So he said, here's how I'm going to do it. He said, I'm going to give you a model in order you can a model by which that you can pray. And this is what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Now, this isn't, I don't know that there's anything wrong with you just praying the Lord's Prayer. I'm not saying it's that effective. But what he's giving us is a model that we would pray by. There are a lot of people that we've also called this the Our Father, that we do the Our Father. And so there's nothing wrong with that necessarily, but Jesus said this is the model or the way that you pray. He said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we say, well, this is the Lord's Prayer. Actually, the Lord's Prayer, John 17, he prays a prayer there. Jesus didn't just repeat this. He didn't just, every time he knelt down, he said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be. He didn't do that. John 17, we have an extensive prayer that Jesus prayed. And so what he's giving us is a model, and we have other occasions where Jesus has prayed, and so we have a model by which to go by. So there's some principles here that I want to just talk to you about. We haven't talked about these in a while, so I'm going to go back to them. In Matthew 6 and verse 9, it says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." This is how Jesus, the model, he said, we start here. There's a principle, there's a couple of principles in this verse that I want to visit with you about. We have talked about these in the last few weeks, and this is to help to reinforce that. There's two things coming out of this I want to visit with you about. First of all, it's who we are talking to and how we should talk to him. First of all, it's who we're talking to, and secondly, how should we talk to it? How many of you know that there are different ways to talk to different people? I think we all know that, and you do it already. If you're talking to the guy that you work with that is your equal, you'll talk to him one way, but if the boss walks up, you'll talk another. So I think this is funny. Me and Mike were talking about it this week, and when we're all the guys that work for us, there's like 75 of them. So we got a mixture of these guys out there. So when I walk up on the job, everything changes. Can you imagine that? Their language changes. One time I was on the job, we had a new guy, and his language was horrible. This guy, I've never got on to one of my guys. I've never said don't talk like that, but this guy's language was horrible. And he just kept on and kept on and kept on. Next thing I know, the supervisor of that crew, he had him over to the side. And here in a minute, he came over and apologized to me for talking like that. Well, now here's the thing, guys. We do talk to people differently as pertains necessarily sometimes to their rank in our lives, pertaining to how we view them in our lives or the position that we have given them, that they have authority over us in our lives. We talk to people differently. So Jesus is saying that when we begin to get this concept, he said, we have got to know who we're talking to and how we should talk to him. And this idea that I can just all go all at God all willy-nilly, and there's not, God understands, and the Bible says that he knows what it is that we're no need before we even ask it, but there's a way that we approach him, and there's a way that we talk to him. And so he tells us first, he said, "Our Father which art in heaven," he's identifying to us who it is that we're talking to. Now, I want you to understand that when we have the Bible or we begin to look at the Bible, that we understand that when we say who are we talking to and how should we talk to him, what we're seeing here, first of all, is we understand. We've taught this before, so let me just quickly hit this real fast. In John 14, verse 13, and it says, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So what Jesus, everything, when we begin to talk to God, we understand that we only have the ability to talk to God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. No exceptions to that rule, okay? There's not people that just get a special pass on that. No exceptions to the rule. Everything that we do in Jesus' name. We do it through Jesus or the authority of Jesus Christ. So when we pray, now, saying in Jesus' name is not a magic potion. You can't just say whatever you want to say and then say in Jesus' name and God will just magically do it. It's not a magic potion. What it is that's the authority by which we have an audience with God. By the authority of the sacrifice and the price that Jesus paid, I now have an audience with his Father, God. So now when we start this, we understand, first of all, how we're doing it. Nothing that we do in this world, we do outside of the authority of Jesus Christ. He's the one that paid the price. Let me say amen. Now, here's why it's important that you know that. Because if we fully understand that Jesus paid the price, then that means there's nothing more you can do. Now, don't you think about it, man. If we understand and agree that Jesus paid the price, then there's nothing more that we can do. It's not enough that we go to church. It's not enough that we give. It's not enough that we help. It's not all these things. You can't take these things and say, here is why I have what it is I have. And Paul said that way that no one can boast. So we do everything in Jesus' name. And he said, we start with our Father, which are in heaven. Now, we understand that in the Bible, when we pick up the Bible, the first words in the Bible, in Genesis 1, is in the beginning God. How many of you understood that before you read that? that he is the starting place of everything. There was nothing before him. There's no way of measuring how far back he's been. We have no way of knowing this, no way of gauging it. And that's the person that he says we're talking to. The person that the book of Hebrews says in 11 and verse 3 that stepped out on nothing and created everything that we now see. He created that. He didn't go down to Ace Hardware and gather all this stuff up. He stepped out on nothing. He stepped out on total darkness and said, "Let there be light." And from somewhere in the expanse of the universe, light came. That he stepped out on absolutely nothing and began to create everything that you and I now have, or you and I can now see. Now that's the person we're talking to. Jesus is trying to help us. John says in verse 1, chapter 1, he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and nothing was done except by the Word." And so we understand that in Hebrews 11 says that by the Word of God, everything was established. So this is the God. Jesus said, first of all, you need to understand who it is that you're about to have a conversation with. I talked to you a few weeks ago about this, us understanding exactly who God is and what God is, because God, we're talking about the God of the universe. If you act a little bit different when your boss walks in and you don't act a little different when you begin to talk to God, something may be wrong. If you act different whenever your whatever mother or father shows up and you don't act different when you start talking to God, something may be wrong, because we're not recognizing who it is that we're talking to. Now, the Bible does say that we can come boldly into the throne room of God, but that don't mean you're storming the gates and bossing him around and telling him exactly what he needs to do, how he needs to do it, and what time he needs to get it done. What God, Jesus is trying to teach us, that you're talking to the God of the universe, and the first principle we've got to understand is he's pretty smart. He's real smart. He knew exactly what was needed in order for us to get to where we are today. He knew exactly what was needed for man to exist and for us to move to where we are today. He knew exactly what he was doing when he created every animal, every star, every atom, every molecule. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he hasn't lost control yet. So Jesus said, this is the person that you're talking to. And so he says, when you understand that when you come, you're coming in my name, but you're talking to the Father. He said, you're talking to him. You're walking into the presence of God, that we have things that we can visit about in the next few weeks, that things that give you ability to walk into the presence of God, things that give you the ability to be able to talk to God. But when we come to God in prayer, what we're doing is we're having a conversation with the ultimate of everything. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. Even when Jesus talked to his Father, he talked very clear, very plain. He said things like, "Father, I know that you hear every word that I say." When he walked to the tomb of Lazarus, he said, "Father, I know that you hear every word that I say." But he said, "I'm going to pray because of these folks that are watching, that are around me." He said, "I know, Father, that you know everything that I say. I know, Father, that you know." The Bible says that Jesus knew what the people around him were thinking at times. Jesus, God, already knows what you're thinking. He said, I recognize that, God, you know everything about me. You know everything that's going on in my life. You know every situation. You know every need. You know everything that's going on around me. And now, God, I want to talk to you. I want to spend a few minutes with you." And that's what Jesus is saying. He said, when you come to God in prayer, at least recognize who you're talking to. Now, when we begin to recognize that, he went on to tell us, and as we begin to look at this first verse, he says in John 1, I quoted this to you, let me read this to you. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made, that anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." This is who we're talking to. So I said, first of all, as we begin to learn these basics, and I like to, every once in a while, I just like to hear these one more time. Understand who we're talking to. Secondly, he said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." To us, we just finished this week. We had Halloween. And that's where they get this word Halloween is from the word hallowed. Hallowed means holy. Now, I will agree that that is far from what our Halloween today is, isn't it? There's nothing holy about our Halloween. But it was originated as a holy holiday. It's what it was. Halloween is hallowed or holy evening. That's what it was. And they set aside a day and they would recognize all of those that had, I think I've told you this several times, but they would recognize all of the households that had had loved ones in the Lord pass away. They'd put lamps out on the porch. That's how you knew they'd had a loved one pass away. You would bring no tricks, just treats. You'd bring dishes to them, cookies to them, whatever the case during this time. And you would bring and you would just knock on the door and leave the treat. And so we turned it into trick or treat and turned it into Halloween, turned it into something other than what it was originated for. But it came from this word hallowed. He said, hallowed be your name. So when a Jewish person heard that, they understood that we have, in the Jewish language, we have about eight words for the word. We have one word for which is love. And some of those words, we translate them charity in some places, love in other places. And so we have all of these different variations of the same thing. When they heard this, hallowed be thy name, they knew that what was being said is that there's a recognition of who it is based on their name, what they can do in our lives. So he said, hallowed be thy name. Now you've heard this before, but we understand that God, and when we begin to talk about this, we begin to understand that God, in Exodus it says it this way. In Exodus 3 and verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me, then he said, what shall I say, or what is your name? We know this. Charlton Heston said it. He said, say that I am that I am. He said, just tell them that I am. He said, and Jesus said this in the book of Revelation, the first chapter. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, I am that I am. I am from the beginning to the end. So when we begin to understand, when we begin to talk to God, not only am I talking to God, there are things that God does in my life. There are things that God already provides in my life. Now, here's where I'm going with this. When we start this, when we go to prayer, what we want to do is too many times we want to go in there with our list of things that we want God to do in our lives. God, that's what I want you to do. Point one, point two, point three. Nothing wrong with making requests. The Bible says he knows what you have needed before you ask it. So when we go to God and begin to understand this, hallowed be thy name, then what we're doing at this point is we're recognizing that there are things that God is already doing in my life. Now, this is what I want you to hear, that when we say this, you're recognizing there are things that God is already doing. First of all, in the Bible uses a name for God called Jehovah Mikdash. Jehovah Mikdash. That's a crazy name. It's a strange name, but it's the Lord my sanctifier. How many of you know that God is already working in your life to make you better? How many of you know that? I mean, we recognize that this week, that maybe as your week went on, you seen where God was working in your life, attempting to perfect you, attempting to work at you. When we come to God and we begin to pray, and we say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or I recognize, God, that you're already working in my life. I recognize that this week, as I went through my week, that you were doing things in my life to make me better. I don't have to ask you for that, God, you're already doing it. Here's the principle. He's already trying to do it. If we were going to pray in our prayer, we should talk to ourselves, not to God. Don't ask God to help you change. Ask yourself to make the change, because God's already doing it in our lives. So many times when we come to God, we've got this grocery list of things that we want God to do, when in reality, he's already attempting to do it in our lives. Sanctification is no different. He's working in our lives day in, day out to sanctify us. We spend our time sometimes. I've done it. I've been guilty of going to God and saying, God, I got this going on in my life. I got this thing. I want to get this thing out of my life. God, would you help? And God, would you do this? God's already done it. He's already my Jehovah Mikdash, which means he's my sanctifier, or he's already God my sanctifier. He's already sanctifying me. The struggle that's happening is me fighting against God trying to change me. Somebody say amen. He's already doing it. You didn't have to go to prayer and ask God to help me get rid of this, 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 and this. He's already doing it. What you and I have to surrender to, when we say, hallowed be thy name, we're recognizing that, God, you're my sanctifier. You're already working in my life. You're already doing things that I didn't imagine you could do. You're already moving mountains in my life. You're already doing these things. God, help me to surrender to the change that you're trying to make in my life. When we come to God and we start there and say, well, I never have anything to say. I can't pray like you, Pastor. I can't do it. When we come to God and we say, "My, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," you say, thank you, God, that you're working in my life and that you haven't given up. And God, I know that I'm not doing as good as I could. I know I'm not responding as fast as I should. I know, God, that things are going, listen, you're not recording this. You don't have anybody there. It's just you. You've got to understand when Jesus said, this is your model of prayer. You say, well, what about all of the stuff that I need? We'll get to that later. But right now, you've got to recognize the things that he's already doing. He's already working in your life. He's already working in my life. He's already doing everything that he needs to perfect us and to sanctify us. I know some of us may have never heard the word sanctification. But it's real. It's not a one-time event. It's not something that you pray through to. It's something that every day when you come to God, you say, God, I thank you that you're still working in my behalf. When we hear that word, when we hear that that hallowed be thy name, this is a time that we recognize, God, I thank you. Here's another name. I thank you, God, that you're my God, my shepherd. My God, I want to thank God for the times, the days, and the weeks that I've attempted to go the wrong way, and he just simply steered me back the right way. I was telling someone one day, they asked me the question, so how do you view your position as a pastor in the church? How do you see yourself in this grand scheme of things that God's doing? I've been at this a long time. I hadn't thought about it. This was years ago. I hadn't thought about it that much. But I thought about it, gave it some prayer, gave it some consideration. I came back and I said, I see myself as a sheepdog. Well, hold on, Pastor. You're the shepherd of the flock. I said, well, I can't be shepherding him too. So that makes me the sheepdog. He said, that sounds disrespectful. I said, that's not disrespectful. Have you ever seen a sheepdog? One of the smartest animals I've ever seen. But it's my responsibility, like the sheepdog. I'm not the shepherd. It's my responsibility to keep you looking at the shepherd. So what happens with the sheepdog when it comes time for the shepherd to do something? His job, go out there, make all of the sheep look at me. Because we're about to go. We're about to move. Something is about to change. And I begin to watch these sheepdogs. These things are amazing. Oh, I put myself in that position right now. Amen. I'm amazing. But these sheepdogs, man, they're amazing. And I watched them do it. They can do it at night. They can do it in total darkness. It's like, how do they do that? Somehow or another, a shepherd can communicate to those sheepdogs that he wants them to go out, and they have trials for them. They go out and they'll separate one in particular sheep out and bring that one in particular sheep to the shepherd so that he can examine them, maybe look at them a little more extensively. David said, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One translation says, I have everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. The Bible says in the New Testament, he said, I will supply all of your need according to my riches in glory. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. When we start that time and we say, Father, hallowed be thy name, then at that point I say, thank you, God, that I have everything I need. Oh, I may not have everything I want, but I have everything I need. And if I will continue to thank you, God, for all of the things that you've done, all of the things that you've provided, all of the things that you've brought into my life, then God, you said you'd give me the desires of my heart. He said, if I would delight myself in you and what you've done, the provision that you've made in my life, he said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. He said, you can't imagine the things that I can do in your life, but you've got to recognize that I, first of all, he said, I'm the shepherd. He said that I've already provided for you. That I've already, David went on to say that he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in green pastures. He makes sure that I have everything that I need. And so when we begin to pray this, we begin to recognize that God, you have not only have you just met my needs, you're guiding me, you're keeping me. He said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they keep me. Your rod and your staff are with me. Your rod and your staff have taken care of me. He said, not all of these things have happened because you're my shepherd. So when we begin to pray this, we begin to understand. We say, I'm having trouble finding something to say when I'm praying. I believe the reason that happens so many times is we just simply don't know what to say when we get there. It's like getting in the presence of somebody, and I tell you, you had all these things you were going to say. Then when you get there, you forget them all. That's why Jesus said, have a model. There's a model here. That he said, when you say, hallowed be thy name, you understand that God, you're my healer. God, you're my provider. God, you're my shepherd. God, you're fighting for me. You're not fighting against me. God, you're my Jehovah Jireh. You've provided all of my needs. God, you've done everything that I need, that you've provided for me. Then here's one. As we begin to pray this, we say, God, I thank you that you're my Jehovah. Here's a big word, Tishkenu. That word Tishkenu means my righteousness. Or God, you're my right standings. Thank you that you're the God of my right standings. That I'm in right standings with you. That I have the ability. Jesus said that we would declare you righteous through Christ Jesus. He said, you are in right standings with God. That when you and I make a decision and we accept Jesus Christ, then we became then in right standings with God. He declares it. And we need to take time. We need to thank God that God, thank you that you've placed me in right standings, that I'm no longer in opposition to you, God. I'm no longer on the outside looking in. That God, you and I are in right standings. As we begin to pray, it becomes simple. As a matter of fact, as you begin to understand the model of prayer, you won't have time to finish. You'll have to come back. Now, don't you think about that. You'll have to come back because we don't have time to spend the time there to say all of the things that we would like to thank God for. Because once we get started thanking God for all the things that he's already doing, the things that we needed we'll find already fall into those categories. The things that we need, God have already provided for us. As we begin to pray, God, I've got a headache, a backache, a toe ache. We understand that God, you're my healer. I thank you, God, that you've already begun to work in my body. I thank you, God, that you've already begun to work in my life. That, God, you're already my healer, that you've already done what it is that I need. You've already provided for that. God, I thank you that you've already provided. I'm just going to wait on your answer, God. I'm just going to continue to work and stay busy until, God, the answer comes in my life. Because, God, you've already done that. And so as we begin to pray this, we begin to work through this, we begin to come to these ideals, begin to come to us, that you know what, I've got plenty to thank God for. When I say hallowed be his name, I understand that he is so much in my life, that when I accepted him, he became all of these things in my life. That he began to be all of these things. He began to move all of these mountains and all these obstacles and hurdles. He began to move them all in my life. So I don't have to worry about if I get there and I get it all figured out and said and everything's just exactly right as far as my requests are, because all I've got to do is understand that God has all of my needs met. That he's my provider, he's my healer, he's my shepherd, he's my banner, he's the God that's always there. He's all of those things in my life. And so when I begin to learn that, and I begin to take that in basics of living for God, and I begin to develop a relationship with him, I begin to pray and take time with him. One of the joys of my life has been my ability to talk to God. That's been one of the joys of my life. I'm sure it has been yours as well. That one of the joys of my life is the time that I have to talk to God. So what I do is, and I know you do as well, I just take any opportunity that I can find. I get up in the morning. I've told you that. I get up in the morning, and I sit in my chair. I get in my truck. I talk to him going down the road. It's a joy in my life to get to do that, because I understand that I'm talking to the God of the universe, that everything that we see was created as a result of him, that what I'm doing is such a small thing in the sight of what God is. And I recognize him as such a big thing in my life that I recognize had it not been for him, I would have nothing that I have today. And so as a result of that, it's a joy of my life to be able to talk to God. I believe that when we understand, and Jesus was teaching us, when we understand how to do it, and when we get there, we don't say, well, I just don't know. I'm just fumbling around. I believe if we understand how it works and what we're doing, I believe we'll do it.